Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Friday. 97.3 The Fan. I'm very happy that our next guest is here. He's in studio. And Padre fans, of course, will remember the great Carlos Quentin, who joins us live in studio. How are you, buddy?
Woodsy, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, man. Good to see you. Look good. Look fit. What's that like?
Ditto.
Fitter than last time, maybe.
No, you're looking great.
I got a trainer.
Good. Yeah. I'm trying to do the same. Trying to watch what I eat. Track my macros a little bit.
I still don't know what a macro is. I really don't. And people have tried to explain it to me.
I did like a food thing that was like a macro based, and it really helped. And I still don't know what it is.
I still don't know how to explain it.
Can I try it?
Please. All right. Here we go.
For the 100th time, macronutrient, basically protein, carb, or I'm going to mess this up. Protein, carb, fat.
Protein, carb, fat.
And then they assign values to them and they multiply. It's better if your trainer gives you like a sheet that multiplies that, unless you're going to track it or not.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm not going
Fair.
To.
Cheeseburgers don't fall into that.
Cheeseburgers aren't in there.
We'll get you a general category so you can press a button. Honestly, I thought about that as like, this would be easier if you just had it all assigned and I
yes.
could talk into something.
Yes, that's and exactly right.
Maybe something's up.
Well, you're looking good, man. It's funny. Carlos texted me the other day, and we've got to spend a little time together when the Padres did fantasy camp. When they did it locally, it was such a blast having you out there. You know, I think he was, you know, giving everybody advice on what to do. And
it was awesome.
It's good to see you again. It was great to hear from you. And what you're working on right now is, I thought, as soon as you started telling me about it, I go, dude, stop. We're good. Like, it's absolutely something our audience will want to hear about. We have a lot of parents in our audience. We have a lot of parents of athletes, but it's not just for athletes. So give us kind of your pitch on this thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what I've been working on since I got done playing. It's a reflection of kind of my story as a kid and my relationship with sports, you know. I fully acknowledge I lived a kid's dream, right? Sometimes I kind of preface that with it doesn't feel like that sometimes. I always have to remember and remind myself how grateful and thankful I am for what I was able to achieve in the game. But to be frank, like, you know, I was a young kid, grew up in Chula Vista, and honestly was identified early. And, you know, that identification kind of shifted my life and my life trajectory. And
how old were you when somebody came up to you and said, hey, dude, you've got kind of what it takes to get to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, it was, to answer that question directly, I was probably 14.
God, wow.
Wow.
But
and then that you heard that news, and you're like, okay, I dreamed about it. Maybe I'd never really thought it was possible. And you said it changed your life's trajectory. What happened there?
So, listen, I was a big Hispanic kid growing up, right? I could do things on a field. My parents put me in every sport to keep me out of trouble. That's just they thought I'd get in trouble if
sure.
I wasn't in sports. And I played Little League the minimal amount of time, like for a very short period of time. I was, I was 8. They were trying to pull me up to majors, right? One of those kids, you know? My dad coached, wasn't like a baseball guy. He coached, so they couldn't pull me up to majors. right? I played 1 year majors when I was like 10. And then somebody here, I won't mention the name, but it was one of the first competitive baseball programs, which is still in existence and has a philosophy that I'm going to say I don't agree with.
Right.
Kind of plucked me out of my little league. I never played All-Stars.
Wow.
I got plucked out, and I got put with kids that were a year and a half older than me, mm-hmm. maybe two grades wow. older than me. So I never knew anything beyond just trying to survive in the game.
Yeah.
I got through it thrown in right field. I've been a right fielder, probably one of the only former big leaguers that never played shortstop.
Wow.
Because I was a right fielder since I was 10. Because I didn't have 2 years of developing the skills to field a ground ball, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, once high school rolls around and puberty happens, you start playing with kids in your own class. And then someone, I think at the time, you remember Baseball America?
Oh, yeah.
They were one of the only publications ranking players. Now you have it ranked, you know, players are ranked all the way down to eighth grade.
Yep.
Publication came out maybe my freshman year, and you know I had a good summer, and it ranked me like the number one 15-year-old in the nation. I was only 14.
Wow, that's unbelievable!
And the world changed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then when did it or did it? Obviously, there's pressure, and you feel pressure, and you obviously rose above a lot of that, and were able to get to the big leagues and have a really good career. But when you're 15 years old and you're in a magazine, you probably start feeling yourself a little bit, right? And you probably start, for you, did it change like the way that you were? Did it change your attitude? Did it make it harder on you? Was there more pressure? Like, how did that play out?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I'm trying to think back to like 14, 15-year-old me, right? And all the different things that I was experiencing. A lot of it all, right? I think what I remember the most was the transactional nature of it.
Yeah.
Right? And it wasn't even just like from how people looked at me that I didn't know. It's even like, you know, people I loved and cared about me, they kind of, the lens shifts a little bit, right? It shifts a tick just because it's like, whoa, hang on. You know, that's a big deal. And now opportunities presented, right? I don't know. I was pretty like pragmatic kid, like, you know, just like any kid, you want to play in the big leagues.
Yeah.
But you also want to be a doctor because you played the game of life and they make the most money. Right. So you're just like going through life trying to experience it. And all of a sudden there's like this tremendous opportunity, not just to, you know, as a goal to go to college, which at the time, like my parents were hoping that maybe I could find a scholarship anywhere
sure.
to prolong my education. But then you might have a chance to be financially sound for your family. It's interesting. So I think I kind of took it as like, this is a tremendous opportunity. I already had some work ethic built into me because, like I said, I was on a young kid on a team where I didn't know how good I was. I didn't think I was that good at all.
Right.
I was like in the middle. Well, I was just trying to be in the middle. And then, you know, from the social standpoint, imagine if you're a sixth grader and you have eighth graders or whatever, you know, two years.
That's just a big deal.
Yeah. So yeah. You're like, you're just sitting isolated on this team. And then you go to high school and you make varsity, which is great. No one knows you. I'm like, oh, this is fun. You're learning from older kids. And all of a sudden that happens and things shift, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess I would say that, you know, you're like, oh, I am a big deal. It feels good. But you feel this high that's kind of like, you know, it's based on this one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it was your choice or whatever. Like, this isn't a sob story at all. It's just a reflection on what that experience is kind of like.
Well, and you have that experience, you make it to the big leagues, you have a great career, and then after, you know, you're a dad, and now you're coaching. And we had a conversation about this yesterday, Carlos and I did. Carlos Quentin joins us live in studio, and he asked me about my son, Bo, who's 7 and on fire for the game, just absolutely on fire. And I said, he's doing really well. He's very hard for me to coach, and he doesn't really respond great to me, but he responds really well to others. And Carlos said, man, I'm going through the same thing. Now, if your dad's a big leaguer, right. former big leaguer, and you're not listening to him, yeah, why would you listen to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing where, you know, as a coach, yeah, I volunteer my time. I love the game. I'm on fire for the game. I think I know the game a little bit. But man, if your kid won't listen to you, how's my kid going to listen to me learning, you know, trying to learn this game of baseball? And Carlos actually was really kind, and he's like, look, I've had the same problems, right? I think a lot of dads out there have that. And you've developed something, and I want to know, first of all, let's tell everybody what you developed and what you've been working on, because I think it's so valuable, and it's such an underserved part of youth sports.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Woodsy, I know you asked that question. I didn't answer it. I'll say this. In relationship to what I expressed, I built something that I would have liked to have had when I was 10 years
old. That's it. That's it.
Wow.
And that was something that could help me, I'll just say in general terms, with the mental side of the game.
Yeah.
But not just the mental side of the game, like the holistic development of my path in sports, to understand what was happening with me, you know, as I reflect back, right? I'm a grown man, and I'm still trying to kind of understand that. Sure. When I was a kid.
Searcher, man. We all are, yeah.
Right? And I think about, you know, what I was taught later on in my life, you know, from sports psychologists and people that I hired to help me with the mental side of the game. And honestly, like, none of that stuff stuck. It never stuck or sticks, whatever. It never stayed with me. And I kind of go back to what I've tried to build is something that can get to kids early, that gives them the tools, and not just the tools, but the behaviors and the routines that they can start early that hopefully stick with them later on in life.
Yeah.
Right? And it's about how do you prep a game, but something actionable in their hands. That also includes parents, so that parents can see how they are developing, right? The data and the data visualization of all that, all of what they're doing is provided for the parents, shared openly, right? And then, you know, we can go into youth sports and everything about youth sports, you know, the opportunities, the benefits, the issues, the problems, the concerns. You know, the beginning of it is how do you prep for a game to perform?
Right.
But also, how do you prep for a game to handle pregame anxiety and stress, which is a huge thing. If you're going to ask any professional athlete, we have it every single day before every single game or match or anything. There's a little bit of something probably before you go on the air, right? You're a high-level performer in your field.
Oh,
right?
Flop sweat sometimes, yeah.
You need a little bit.
Yeah, you got to have it.
Just so you have, like, so you're ready. It's part of it. But you kind of brought it in and made it your own. The one question is, what is happening with a kid and how are they consuming it? So that's part of it. And then on the back end, you know, as you build a routine that helps a young kid, it's the reflection side on the back end, right? The recovery side.
Yeah.
The recovery, which is what I think, for at least for me, was the most important thing and has the most important opportunity or the most beneficial opportunity for a young kid to kind of understand what's happening and share it with their parent.
Yeah.
So the parent has an idea of what's happening as well.
That's something that wasn't taught to us either. Like when I was a kid, it was maybe like, hey, cool down, stretch at the most.
The most. That's it.
Recovery, the word didn't exist in terms of mental, youth athletics.
Mental skills were, you know, quit being a baby get up there and hack.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it.
Drink from the hose.
Yeah. Paul, that's 100% accurate. I'm a grown man, and I don't even know if I have established routines for any of this. I was playing the big leagues.
Yeah.
And I don't have established routines for this.
You hear about it all the time. And you know, the great ones always talk about their routine. It's important. And then for these kids, man, you know, I've loved it. I was just saying on the air this week, I would quit my job. If I could make what I make now to just go coach, I would do it. That's how much I love it. I love playing and I love showing them. And I love watching kids improve most of all. But anything that can help them get their heads right a little bit, get their head right. And to be able to, we talked about it yesterday on the phone about, you know, we all teach our kids how to brush their teeth. I know I can tell my kids now, go brush your teeth. I don't have to go in there and watch them. They have a routine. They know
feel the toothbrush.
Like, I know they're going to do it. How do we get this in kids, in our children to, it's not just for sports, because let's be honest, man. My kid's probably not playing in the big leagues. You know what I mean? But I want him to have the best experience he can. And I want it to be fun. It's hard. Dads, moms, whatever, we don't look at them as 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. We're like, I want you to perform. I want you to want to perform. All of that stuff, right?
And the technology's finally there.
It's finally there.
Because I feel like when you were a kid playing baseball, you know, there's no iPads, there's no apps, there's no conversations even surrounding. Even social media at that point hadn't taken off,
right.
I feel like.
It's such a great point. I mean, listen. I think we all kind of understand as parents, you know, what can happen with social media, with screens and everything. We want to limit it and have our kids adopt it at a certain rate and in a positive way. But it's also a tremendous opportunity if you compare it with something, if you can compare it and collaborate with something that they, a young kid cares about and is motivated to use it. So the question really comes down to if I know sports is that big in my son's life,
right,
or my child's life, and I can use that motivation to bring a good behavior in, then technology is doing its job in an effective way. Right. And that's an opportunity if the system and the tools are built there for you. And to say one thing, Woodsy, about, you know, being a parent, you know, my son, you know, I failed him, and I won't get too much into this because I'll break down here because it's very meaningful.
Yeah.
I feel like I failed him early on because I was transitioning, and I inherently, from what I did, whether I want to acknowledge it or not, have just a whole bunch of information, especially about hitting in my head.
Right. Of course.
I was helping a buddy's, son in high school, and I start talking to him, and I'm like, geez, just stuff comes out of me.
I know, dude. Right.
And I'm like, whoa, like, what did I just say? Right. And I'll say, as a former big leaguer, I had the capacity to get my son a bunch of information.
Just vomited on him, right?
Right.
And like, how does he process it?
But I have just as much of a potential to ruin it.
Correct.
Because of the intensity.
Yes.
And my experience. I was trained to go compete at a high level, that you all know that, but I was trained to go compete in an environment where it was cutthroat.
Yeah.
I am playing for bread on my table, and there is no room for error.
Right.
Absolutely none. And that's think about bringing that to a young kid.
Yeah, he's 8, 9 years old. And you're like,
you were 14 when you found out.
That right.
How many times I've told my son, like, hey, son, I just don't smile that much.
Wow.
I just don't.
Yeah.
And that's who I am.
That's who I am.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And just know I'm proud of you, and when you do something good, like, you know, kids feel energy.
Yeah.
If I'm just telling you, just trust that I believe that you have done something so well, and that I'm just like, I'm programmed like a robot.
Yeah.
To some degree.
It's so tough. I'm to the point now, I was hitting my little guy grounders before the game the other day, and he kind of played it off to the side. And all I did was I cocked my head and I gave him a look, because that's not what he does. And his head hung like that. And then we were in the spiral. We were in the spiral. From that moment on, he couldn't get back. You know, and he ended up playing a really nice game, but it was pregame, and he looked at me. I gave him one head tilt. That's it. I did not say one word, and head went down, and now he's upset.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God. Like we talked about failing our kids. It's so fascinating. I want to tell you guys the name of the app. We're going to take a quick break, and then so check it out if you're able to do it right now. It's called Before the Field.
It's called Before the Field.
Before the Field. It's on the App Store. I downloaded it last night. I want to talk about the functionality and the purpose behind it and all that next when we come back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Carlos Quentin joins us live in studio. We will be right back.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. The people in chat are absolutely loving this discussion that we're having with Carlos Quentin right now, and I am too. It's obviously the journey that I'm on right now with my kids and you know, really just being a dad and with sports and all that, you guys hear me talking about it all the time. So good and refreshing to hear it from somebody that's done it at the highest level, certainly, and that's Carlos Quentin joins us in studio. We got Julian Delgadio hanging out from Fox 5 as well. And, yeah, so this app that you have been working on, I downloaded it last night. It's called Before the Field. And I'm so in support of it, in favor of it, because we all want the best for our kids, right? That's really what it boils down to. And we want our kids to have happy, meaningful lives. And we want them to be okay and well-balanced as they can possibly be. And it's something that keeps me up at night, right? When you see your kid get down, they're down in the dumps, they really can't express why. It just rips your heart out as a parent. And then you think about and you talk about, you know, the times that you failed your son. I have failed my kids so many times. And it truly has taught me what unconditional love is, truly, because I have gone to them and said, I am the worst and I'm sorry and I love you and I'll, you know, we're together and whatever. And you know, they're like, no problem. Cool. Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's
that's funny. I had a text from my dad this morning apologizing for something he said on the phone yesterday that I have no recollection of.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What are you
talking about? It's just this weird like thing. And you know, as a parent, like, it's never going to go away. So what can we give our kids? And that's the thing, and I want people to understand this too. I think, I don't want to speak for Carlos, but he's not in here trying to make machines, right? Of like, let's get these kids functioning at the highest level of you know, Little League baseball. No, that's not what it's about at all, not even in the slightest. And I knew that when I talked to you, and I heard you talking about it, your passion for it. And then I knew it when I downloaded the app and started playing with my son on it last night. These are tools for life. Right? Life beyond the field. You know, it's called Before the Field. You can download the app. It's incredible. But it's also Beyond the Field is another way you could look at it, because this can be applicable in their whole lives.
100%, Woodsy. You know, give you just a little, you know, a little of the background on how it was built, right? And, you know, there's a lot of ideas in here coming from myself, my own experience. There's some combinations of learning about, you know, how do you develop things on the tech side. But there's a little behavioral science behind it, right? And I was introduced to some of it, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is the backbone of modern day sports psychology. That's what's kind of the default. It's used at the highest levels. And to give you kind of that background, it's just simply like you control your thoughts, you control your emotional state. And when you're playing, you have to have positive self-talk, right? So you can make that the equivalent. This is a little different here. It's a different behavioral science. It's called acceptance commitment therapy. It has a different, kind of program as far as trying to hone like psychological flexibility. And I'm going to leave out some of all these terms, but basically Before the Field's trying to do is build the first pillar of that. And that's the self-awareness about who that person's becoming using values and really trying to associate values to the field. So what value, you know, one of the biggest questions we always ask an athlete as they're interacting with it, you know, say on like a post-game log is, what value did you represent on the field?
Yeah, and were you a good teammate? Did you exhibit compassion? Did you exhibit frustration, right? Like, which is normal and okay, and but just log it and know it and grow from it.
You know, I'm using this with my Little League team. I use it with my kids. One of the things is exactly that, was you log it, it's supposed to be quick, and then you reflect it back to the kid. Mm-hmm. So that, and then you can ask this question, you know, and I don't think, I haven't used it as a kid, but I can kind of tell you now after I've been exposed to understanding some of that science of how important it is to understand who we are, I can ask my son, what are your top three values?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't know it, here they are. I want you to know these when I ask you that question.
Right.
Or I can ask a kid on my team, what are your top three values? It's been tracked. It's there. And this is your top three values in sports, whether it's compassion, empathy, self-control, work ethic, right? And these are all words that associate with what the intangibles are for sports, high-achieving professionals, what we want our kids to build on, right? Because we understand without these things, they you know, success is, it minimizes, right? And to make them self-aware, I believe, is a positive thing. And it is the first step to then, you know, harnessing any type of stress they're experiencing. Is that perspective that they build gives them the opportunity. So, you know, in that framework, we're asking that question. We're trying to pull apart, you know, and understand stress has negative and positive connotations, right? they feel, you know, if we don't look at the positive side of the excitement side, the part that allows you to be ready to get into a state to perform and understand that that's a good thing, then we may just experience it negatively. Like, I don't like this feeling.
Right.
Right. So we don't want to use that word stress, but we want to say excitement versus nervousness. Right. We can understand that a little bit in that dynamic, bring that into the play, and then try to, you know, and I'm really, what I'm describing to you, Woodsy, is the post game log that is really important. How I felt about how I played, actually, there's two questions. How did I do? And how did I feel about it? Right. How did I think the kind of world thought I did? Did I feel good about it?
You ever have those games where you perceived how you played differently than maybe others would?
100%.
Yeah.
I think like all the time.
All the time.
Right. And bringing that into play asking a kid that is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Right. It's something that I'll be honest. When we spoke yesterday, you know, as a parent receiving this information, one, do I have a mechanism to do it?
Right.
And then two, what are the kind of am I looking at to kind of like come up with my own answers if I don't have that mechanism? And that's kind of my observation of how they performed, of how they took in the game, you know, their actions beforehand, the actions after, you know, are they in the game when they kind of want it? Are they paying attention?
Yes.
All those things,
all
right?
Those things.
And when I brought this in, my son's been using it since I've been developing it. It's strange. The first year he did it, you know, it was a high stress year. He was still learning and acquiring skills, you know, as his dad, I was teaching him how he had to work and outperform other kids that were in front of him.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I knew what his experience was. And what was strange and kind of just eye opening was when I handed him this thing and I could see it over time, I was wrong. 50%
of the time. No,
I didn't
know.
I'm his dad. I'm coaching.
You watched, you're coaching, you're there every second, and you still don't know.
Half the time, I was wrong. And I was like, okay. And just knowing that, like, okay, what's next? It's not really like, what's next? It's like understanding that I need to, like, I'm probably wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe ask some more questions.
Right.
And have more understanding and patience. Right. Because, you know, that's all we can do as parents is kind of see how, think how our kids are like responding to the environment, right? How their performance is, where are they hitting, right? How the teacher is communicating, what are their grades, right? What other things do we have that can help us, like, just understand their development?
Is it weird that I'm going to use this for adult league baseball? I'm 49 years old. I was looking at it last night. We did the little meditation. I go, there's no way this doesn't help me for my game on Sunday. There's no way it doesn't. I'm 49
Why
years
not?
Old. I'm going to use it as well. Let's take another quick break. Last one of the day. We'll come back. We got a long segment. And I want to talk some baseball with Carlos. I want to continue talking about this app and the development of it and how we can get people involved and how they can start using it tonight, you know, with their kids and getting them ready for their games this weekend or whatever it may be. So we'll be right back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. What an enlightening conversation we're having with the great Carlos Quentin, who joins us live in studio this morning, talking about the app that he's been working on for the last couple years. We'll get right back into it after a quick check of traffic. Always makes me happy when we can do something like this. I was just showing Q a message I got from one of our Tier 1s, Robert. He says, dude, you have no idea how much I appreciate this conversation about Carlos's new app. It's called Before the Field. Yesterday was a rough sports day. We're a very open, supportive mental health family, but this is just another helpful tool. And that's what it is. As a parent, you are looking to fill that belt with as many tools as you can get to help your kids have it better than you did, and better than I did, and better than we did collectively. And that's really what it's all about. It's not about getting them the best bat, getting them the best gloves. It's about how do I build the best person? That's what I really want to do. Obviously every father's dream is to be sitting in the stands at Petco Park and your son gets his first knock and they, you know, there's Bob Scanlon with his perfect hair. He's interviewing you. Oh, Woodsy. Oh my gosh. Look at that. How proud are you? Oh my God. I'd be weeping. You know, it's everybody's dream. The odds of that happening are so minuscule, you know, but
Carlos did it.
But Carlos did it, right? And the thing is like, how do you as a dad take that and have that same pride and appreciation for just the life that they're living, the person that they've become. That's really what it's all about. And I love this app. And the Tier 1s, our listeners, are already downloading it and going to use it with their kids. So, Carlos, great work, number one, with this thing. And what's kind of the what's the next step? What's the future of the app, as it were?
Yeah.
Because I don't mean to cut you off, but as I get into more of this, and you can speak more to it, all I keep seeing and hearing is about, oh, you're going to have such a miserable time in travel ball if they wanted it. Like, I say it about big league announcers sometimes, and I'm like, why do they have a guy that played in the big leagues that is calling a big league game that hates Major League Baseball as it's played today? That's not the best way to market. That's not the best way to market your business. You've got some, I don't name names, but they're like, these guys are terrible and there's too much change.
Back in my day, we'd never have done this.
And I'm like, buddy, you're supposed to be selling me this product and you're doing a poor job at it. All I see, travel ball sucks and travel ball this and travel ball that and baseball and Little League. And I've been party to it. There's issues, right? There's issues with everything. But, you know, as you develop this app, what is like the bigger picture?
Yeah, no, thanks, Woods. I appreciate it. I agree with exactly what you just said, right? Like, there is this kind of, you know, look at this youth ecosystem for young kids. Yeah. You got 60 million kids playing sports between the age of what, you know, 7 and 17. And there's all kinds of things I think we could agree. We could talk for hours about different issues and problems and potential solutions, right? I think that's kind of the missing ingredient is, what are potential solutions?
That's it right there, because there's bad actors in Little League Baseball. There's bad actors in travel ball. There's bad actors in youth basketball, in youth lacrosse, in youth hockey. There's bad actors everywhere, and there are always going to be. But what are the solutions to, I don't know, weed some of those guys out, develop kids into loving the game, playing the game the right way, whatever it may be?
So I'll briefly kind of like maybe describe it this way. And I don't want to describe it negatively, but I want to also like express it as the opportunity. Sports is the most influential thing in our culture.
Yes.
It is globally probably the most important thing that it captures attention. If you don't agree with that, look at the contracts that are being provided for players.
Look at the prices of tickets to games.
This is a limited, a kind of 32 teams?
30 teams in the big league.
Thank you, sorry. Still don't know how
wide. Former big leaguer, by the way.
You asked me how wide the plate is, I didn't care. It's just like, that's where they're going
to
throw it.
I'm going to try to hit it.
I'm going to hit it. That's so many hitters, like, forget about where it is. Look in the middle of the plate.
Try to just pound it.
Own it.
26-man roster for 30 teams.
That's right. Right.
Bigger bases? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You guys, I'm learning.
I pay attention. You know this? They got a pitch clock.
I don't know where it starts yet. I just don't. It's foreign, but I'm not going to judge it.
Do you like the pitch clock, or is that just like,
you would hate it as a hitter. You'd hate it, right?
It's an interesting one. I look at the longer approach of like, well, the game's shorter, so that would have saved my knees.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to
get you those getaway days. My God, those things drag. You're like, dude, we got to get on a plane.
I mean, as a player that was hurt, that played hard, but also took a lot of a physical toll on my body. I'm like, I could see how that would help a player like me.
And
if I was playing, that would be beneficial. And at the end of the day, you want to keep the players on the field.
Yeah.
Because this big entity, like I was saying, this thing is massive, which means there's a ton of different money behind it. These are businessmen. They're making decisions appropriately. But then look at the influence it has all the way down to the youth level, right? And that's a good thing if you can harness just how important it is in their lives,
yeah.
Right? So this is just, you know, I'm trying to describe something that is so influential for young kids that we also have a huge opportunity to address that. This is why, you know, as you say, what are the next steps for before the field? First, you know, coming on here, like, there's still features we're building out, right? This is an early rollout that we're going to start. This is pre-rollout.
Yeah.
It's live because I've always wanted it there, and it's been tested with young kids. It started with partnerships with USD, UCSD, Stanford, Mercer University, coming directly from D1 athletes. This is the foundation. So there's kind of two versions. One's for olders, right, for 14 and up, And the other one's kind of called Before the Field Kids. So internally, there's Before the Field Corps, Before the Field Kids, so that every kid has access to it. 14 and up goes all the way through college, right?
And that's adult ball.
And adult ball for you.
Don't forget about Bolo and Rec League, you know?
You know, Before the Field Kids is the one that I'm trying to get to all the other kids. I feel like it could have the most impact.
We both live in Encinitas. Yeah. Our kids both play in ELL. It's 600 kids, 630 Whoa. Kids sign up for Little League Baseball. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, this is an underserved area of the game right now. Period. The end. It just is. And down the street in ENLL, there's 300 kids. There's 900 kids. They all have brothers and sisters. Everybody wants to play. It's bananas. And this part of it, you know, I'm just afraid, like, coaches, we as the dads, the volunteer coaches that didn't play in the big leagues, you know, we're at a disadvantage in that we don't really know what – I don't know how to run drills the right way. I mean, all of this stuff can help our kids just be better people. And as I used it last night with my son, my one critique was that – it needs more slang. Honestly, you have to have like skibbity riz in there. Right. Yeah, because my kid, he's looking at it and he started to click one and I go, no, did you feel good or bad? He goes, I felt good. I go, it's this one over here. And, you know, he's seven, he's learning to read. It's for a little bit older kids. But I said, man, if you put some, like when I asked him the other day, hey, do you want to go take grounders? He goes, bet. He's seven. He said, bet. And I go, where are you getting this stuff from, right?
Oh, man.
And so, honestly, like, it's very easy to use. It's very easy to maneuver around. It's really, really cool. And I think it's a brilliant idea.
Woodsy, I think that feedback itself, right? These are the challenges of the actual company. One, if you're going to go check it out, please, by all means, do. We're still building it out, right? We're still building Parent Hub so you can connect with families and share it with family members so they see how the experience is happening,
yep.
Right? The child will always drive the ship. The athlete will always drive the ship. That's their experience. So you're trying to support that. But going back to what you were just saying, like, if the system's in place, we can add things that make it fun for kids.
Right.
Right. We have leaderboards for kids if they're on a team, right? This connects from the parent to the coach. So you have two people there as connection points, and then the kid drives the ship, right? So they can have a leaderboard. There's gamification, right? There's freezes. There's streaks. If there's slang that makes it even more fun,
yeah,
that's great. There's meditation exercises that create a system. Right, you're trying to create systems around routines, around games and practices, right? To prep and then to recover.
The recovery thing was awesome. I mean, it was really cool. We were playing with that, and it was how did you feel? Was it challenging to you? Those are the things that I think. Again, yeah, I mean, everyone had a little pregame routine. Your dad would teach you, or your buddy would teach you. The postgame, nothing. Like Paulie said, absolutely nothing. Get on the bus. Get back
get
to where you're going.
On.
Get your Capri Sun. Get your snacks. And coach is going to yell at you for a minute, and then we're done. Yeah. You know, and there's nothing after. There's no resource like that.
Bro, that carried me into through my 20s.
Right.
I wasn't good at stretching after workouts or anything like that.
Or, you know, I watch a couple guys, follow a couple guys on Instagram too, and they make their kids, their D1 players, journal. They journal. And it's like, I mean, at 49, I wish I was better at journaling because I think it's so valuable and important. And if you can get your kid to, after a game, want to run home, get on his iPad, because we don't give our kids a lot of screen time, but any chance they get to be on their iPad, they're all in favor of it, right? Hey, man, make sure, you know, go log your game, or, you know, have them want to be like, Dad, I can't wait to get home and log my game and let you know how I felt. I think that is just brilliant. Brilliant.
You hit on it. As a human being, one of the most beneficial things you can do is journal, right? Because it's just reflecting back and understanding and processing, right? And you can argue that this is kind of a quick, hopefully interactive journal for a kid, right? That shares the information with the parent in a certain way so that they can see it over time and see trends, right? And, you know, whether you try it out now or you try it out in the future or not, I hope that, I pray that what's the future, that it's there for you at any time you need it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do need it, sometimes you don't. And I'll give you just, you know, as a personal, on a personal side, right? You know, my son, he plays soccer too. And he had a tough soccer game. And, you know, I'm going to try to just keep this and, you know, keep myself okay here. When he got done, you know, I wasn't there. He was with my wife. He was fired up, got in the car, and he asked for the app.
That's sick.
And
that's great.
If I went down this path for that one moment,
yeah,
then it's fucking worth it.
No, it's fine. We'll dump it. It's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it. I think, again, I think it's called Before the Field. Everybody out there should check it out. Got a few minutes left, with Carlos here for the week, but, man, when you look back at your big league career, you talk about your injuries. I know you're banged up a lot, but like, how much of this did you use, or were you like, did you journal stuff? Did you, or were you like, I'm going to play as hard as I can. Like, how much could this have helped Carlos Quentin when he was in the big leagues?
So I can only speculate, right? Part of this whole thing is, could this possibly be a thing? Could you like, you know, nowadays this is how you warm up. And this is how you, like, at least for professional athletes, you go to the cold tub and this is how you recover.
Right.
Right? Can you do that with your mind to manage the stress so that you are ready and fully mentally recharged to come back?
Were you a stressed out dude when you played?
100%. And as I kind of look at this, I'm like, I believe, you know, inside, like, as we come all the way full circle, that I built this for 10-year-old me.
Yes, right? Yes. Wow, and that's prolific, man. That's prolific.
That is like, this is what I live the kid's dream. So you can walk it all the way back.
Yeah.
Right. Like it should have been this joyous ride. And I don't want to go into it because this is not a sob story. Like, I am so happy to be, what I did allows me to speak with you beautiful people.
Sure.
But I also got to acknowledge just what that was like. And this is my passion and what I want to help with. I have two kids in playing sports. I'm trying to understand them just like any other parent. You know, trying to help there, trying to help the ecosystem, trying to help the environment.
Yeah, man.
And then when I played, like, you know, there's a couple things about me that got me where I, as far as I did. And then those things, I would say, worked completely against me at the end.
Wow.
Right? And that was one, like, you know, I had tremendous, you know, I just like any high level player, I had good work ethic. Okay. And then I had like a football player mentality where I fought every pitch, every at bat in the box. Like, I was fighting, you know. I mean, there was a picture of me from college, and there was no smile. You could probably look it up from, you know, it's a Stanford biopic, and it has me looking at it like I'm going to smirk, like I'm about to get in a fight.
Yeah.
And I said two things, okay? You have to have a fighter's mentality to go through and deal with the failure and keep going, right? Everyone is good. You get to college, even high school now. Everyone is good.
Yeah.
Everyone has skills.
Yeah.
What will get you further is probably between your ears.
That's it.
And if you're going to fight, that was the fighting mentality, right?
That's it.
Now, I'll say on the other side, as I look back, I didn't have a recovery. I didn't have any recovery mechanism. I ruminated on the game.
Yes.
I overworked my body.
Yep.
I broke it, right? There's things now as I look back, like, you know, I talk to, when I coach my team, I talk about fighting and competing, right? And seeing that and being fine with any result, but knowing that deep down I fought and competed, and then doing it again.
Yeah. Do it again the next day.
And then I end every like practice and every game with like, okay, I've been real. I've coached you. Thank you for letting me coach you.
Yep.
One. Now, you're more valuable than anything you could ever do on this field. To your parents, remember that.
That's so good.
And I just say that because, like, honestly, sometimes I wish I would have had that when I was a kid.
No doubt.
But sometimes it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But if I was a coach, I was just like, say it over and over.
Yeah, coaches are different. That's a different mentality than it used to be.
I'm curious about like what a major league manager would tell you about the mental side of everything.
We'll have to talk about that off air because we only have like 30 seconds left.
Oh, Carlos, I can't count how many times in the chat, text messages, DMs already this morning that people have been like, can we have this regularly?
Yes.
They want more Carlos Quentin on Ben and
Woods.
Yeah, buddy.
I told you.
So we got to make this happen again, man.
I appreciate you guys' time.
This was like therapeutic.
It was rad. It was really, really special. It was one of my favorite hours we've ever done. I can't believe it's already over, but we will be back Monday. Ben will be back in studio. I want to thank Carlos Quentin, Julian Delgadio from Fox 5. You guys were incredible.
That was a fun show.
Made our listeners so happy. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Go Padres. Let's beat the Rays. And we'll talk to you guys Monday morning at 6 a.m. Full crew back together. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Have a great weekend.